You from out of town? Want to see the real Kansas City? Let's f***ing do this.
This is where you get books.
This is where you get jazz. This is where you get barbecue. This is where you get barbecue. This is where you get barbecue.
This is where you get barbecue.
This is where you get barbecue. We like a lot of barbecue.
This is where our sports team wins.
This is where our sports team loses.
Which one?
Doesn't matter.
This is where you get art. This is where you get weird art.
This is Troost.
We're gonna stop?
Nope.
This is where you see horses.
This is where you see whores. And douchebags.
This is where you see relics from a time past.
This is also where you see relics from a time past.
This is where you get beer.
This is where you get boobs.
This is where they make money.
This is where you lose money.
This is where you hear music.
This is where you hear loud music.
This is where you see fountains. This is where you get the best pizza in Kansas City. This is where they have drag races.
This is where they have drag queens.
This is where you get fresh food.
This is where you get food.
This is where you get coffee.
This is where you get coffee.
This is where you get coffee. Speed round.
Uptown.
Downtown.
Midtown.
Westport.
West Side.
West Bottoms.
Boom. Any questions?
I've got a question about the word suicide. But not as it refers to its literal meaning. When I was a little kid, my brother and I would go to a convenience store or a fast food place where you could fill up your own soda. And when you put different types of soda into your glass, that was called a suicide. And I thought that was just something my brother and I said, but I guess it's not. Everybody I know says that. And I was just wondering how that word got attached to doing that.
We need you to come back forward, sorted into the monolithic mysteries of missing links between cotton fields and killing fields. These brothers need rebuilding. Whether they've been burnt out in cubicles or burnt up on blocks, whether they pushing pencils or pushing rocks, they done tried to go from capital to capitalist, but it wasn't enough action in their auction, so they've been walking into prisons like roach motels and the prison industrial complex that eliminated the division between slave quarters and cells. And look at them, sitting here, still thinking this is a white man's world, when his cellmate is white. And his cellmate is thinking, if we could just get rid of these things, I could economically improve my trailer park life, become a father to my children and a husband to my wife. He has yet to figure that he's just a flesh colored woman and can't even afford the luxury of being white. Both of them sitting there blaming each other, living the same cell, living the same life. Meanwhile, the net is destroying the minds of young men. The net. Again, entertainment, television. Constantly broadcasting the crippling passions of the at-risk young population. So in videos and shows that make 70s blaxploitation flicks seem like the work of August Wilson. That's why I needed to have daughters, to give Ida B. Wells, Harriet Tubman, and Queen Mother Moore the opportunity to come back forward. I tell him, he says he can't get past her breast, her ass. You gotta make them, take them under your wings, make them rise, make them understand that the heaven between your thighs can't compare to the salvation that's behind your eyes. Revolutionary negotiation, he can't get wet if he can't get wise. Remind him of the late 19th century and Southern Reconstruction, when black women made a pact not to touch him if he wasn't about nothing. And what happened then? Brothers couldn't smoke cess on corners because they were too busy smoking sessions in Congress. But in this millennium, the next could have been Malcolm X, or somewhere taking a swig off of a 40 ounce of a malt liquor called Black Death, talking about, damn, that billboard was right. His share do put hair on his ass. Tell him you ain't impressed. He could go home and fill his own damn chest. If he can't take kids, then he can't take sex. Like Frederick Douglass, no struggle, no progress. You can't process his request till he stopped confusing his manhood with his baguettes. Tell him to tuck in them little chains and pull out some self-respect. Holding up street signs like somebody paying him overtime. Grown ass man, gotta run like a bitch every time the police come. And cause he call himself a player, now your son wanna be one. Tell him the cost of clowns in the community is building and our children simply can't afford it. Tell his backward ass to play the bottom until he's up and ready to come back forward. We dressing through the night. He picked me up, we made me feel so lucky. Seven, he kissed me in his six, we've been making love it. Five, still the one I told him. Four, I'm trying to make us three, from that, two, still the one. Injection, fellas.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
The open mind, free to examine, to question, to disagree. Our subject today can fallout shelter save us. Your host on The Open Mind is Eric F. Golden, professor of history at Princeton University and author of Rendezvous with Destiny and the Crucial Decade.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Before beginning the regular program, I would like to speak a personal word. For some 3 years now, the producer of The Open Mind has been Mrs. Eleanor S. Rigger. With this program, she discontinues her connection with us to take on other responsibilities. I would like to say that a good deal, a very great deal, of whatever we have been able to contribute on this program is attributable to Eleanor Rigger's hard work, to a quite unusual imagination and knowledgeability, and to her dogged devotion to the highest standards of public affairs programming. All of us associated with The Open Mind are losing a gifted colleague, and we are losing to our weekly contact with a charming and high-spirited friend. We will miss you, Eleanor, and good luck in your other endeavors. And now, gentlemen, to our program itself. Several months ago, the President of the United States summoned our nation to a new duty, fallout protection, he said, for every American as soon as possible. He stressed the federal government was going to move. He called on the local governments to move. And he emphasized the importance of individual shelters. This speech, amid the darkening skies of international relations, of course, has produced a great deal of talk and a great deal of action about shelters against fallout. And as the talk and action has gone on, it's become clear that we're dealing with a very complex subject, one that has at least three parts. One, what are we talking about in terms of practical protection? Two, what are the political implications of shelters? Political in the large and important sense. And three, what are the moral and psychological implications? Our panel today, here to my right, Mr. Oscar M. Riebhausen, attorney and chairman of Governor Rockefeller's Special Task Force on Protection from Fallout. Next to him, Congressman William Fitz Ryan, representative from the 20th District, New York City, who has recently introduced a resolution to set up a joint congressional committee to investigate the ramifications of civil defense. Mr. David F. Cavers, Fessenden Professor of Law at Harvard University. Mr. Norman Cousins, editor of the Saturday Review. And Mr. William Higginbotham, past president of the Federation of American Scientists and head of the Instrumentation Division of the Brookhaven Laboratories. Mr. Riebhausen, may I ask you to start us with a comment on a quotation which I think represents a point of view somewhat different from yours. When Governor Rockefeller was first beginning his campaign for shelters, he was questioned by Governor Robert Minor of New Jersey in some very vigorous words. Minor said that a civil defense program of shelters was what he called a cruel deception on the American people. He asked, what happens when the people come out of these shelters, to quote him directly, what kind of a world would they come up to? What would they use for air, for food, for hospitals? What would they use for streets? And he concluded with the grim question, what would they use for people?
Mr. Goldman, that's an extreme statement. I am familiar with it and with Governor Minor's point of view. In my own opinion, the cruelest deception on the American people would be to deprive them of the opportunity to protect themselves when we know how to survive the fallout from a nuclear attack. This is a subject in which there have been many misconceptions and a great deal of emotion which has clouded rational thinking. But I think there are a couple of things we should have clearly in mind. The air is not poisoned by a nuclear attack, no matter how intense. We can survive. The air can be breathed if we have shelter. Another thing we should have clearly in mind is the distinction between blast from a nuclear explosion and the fallout, which occurs also from a nuclear explosion. Both of these are measurable in their effect, but the fallout is the more extensive. And according to the studies conducted by the National Administration, the fallout will cause more casualties than can be caused by blast. So that the fallout, which may extend as many as 200 or so miles downwind from an explosion, is the thing which we must and can protect against. May I add just quickly two things. The way to protect against fallout is clear, because a density of mass, a density of thickness between you and the radiation outside will protect you. And secondly, we have going for us a phenomenon which is that the radiation declines at a very rapid rate. So time is on your side.
Mr. Higginbotham, as our only scientist here, are you as clear about all these things as Mr. Riebhausen is?
Well, I think that certainly one should make some qualifications. It's very rather glib to say that we can survive. I think that perhaps I'd like to comment on the question and see if perhaps we shouldn't broaden it a little bit. We're talking about fallout shelters. What we're interested in is security in case a war occurs. And I think that if one is talking about survival of a large or an appreciable fraction of the population of the United States, more is involved in fallout shelters. There's a problem of preparation of the shelters themselves, food and water and supplies for the shelters if we build them, and there's a problem of recovery, which is likely to be extremely difficult. I think that I certainly disagree with people who feel it's a totally hopeless problem, and I do feel very much it should be discussed. But I certainly think we shouldn't make any statement which sounds in the least bit optimistic about the degree of survival.
Giant virus has been brought back to life after being buried in the Siberian permafrost for 30,000 years. A group of French scientists were able to do this after thawing the virus and replicating the culture in a petri dish. This has now opened a window in thinking about other viruses and their potential to come back and haunt us. I mean, imagine if smallpox came back. There is no need to worry about this specific virus, though, as scientists have already determined that it poses no danger to humans or animals. Tests have shown that what this virus does is attack amoebas, which are single-celled organisms. It has been described as massive due to the fact that, unlike other viruses, this particular virus can be seen under a microscope. The discovery shows that despite being buried and frozen under the earth, the virus has become active again. This begs the question of what else is lurking beneath the frozen depths of the permafrost. Is this a window science has opened that perhaps should have been left closed? What we now know is we should be concerned, as this is the first time a virus has become infectious after being brought back to life by science.
To show you some of this morning's headlines from around the globe. Departing Afghan President Hamid Karzai gives an emotional interview to the Washington Post. He explains why he is a harsh critic of the United States. Karzai says the 12-year war leaves him angry. He believes the conflict has been waged with Western interest in mind, not Afghanistan's. And he downplays the role of al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda for me is more a myth than a reality. They have no headquarters, they have no... I can't talk about the defeat of something that I don't see.
Karzai also thinks the majority of prisoners captured by American forces were innocent.
Let's hear it. Why is the Arab world so easily offended?
Independence Square, covered in flowers and candles. Hard to believe, less than 2 weeks ago, this was the scene of violent clashes between police and anti-government protesters that caused more than 70 deaths. Today, Kiev residents were left wondering what lies ahead for Ukraine-Russia relations and if war is a possibility. Russian forces have seized Crimea, and the Russian president says he has a right to invade Ukraine to protect Russian citizens. But the people here said they only want peace. We are against the conflict. We are for peace and friendship. We do not want war.
We do not want people to kill each other. We want people to live peacefully everywhere, on all continents and everywhere in other countries.
We love all people, Russians, Ukrainians, Germans, Bulgarians, Romanians. We love all people from all over the world. And we want us all to live peacefully.
And we do not want to repeat it again.
No war. This Kiev resident said the country must prepare for war. We have no fear at all. Right now our children are going to military registration offices, and if needed, we will create People's Emergency Volunteer Corps and we will protect our state. Ukraine's Security Council have all armed forces on highest alert. All eyes are now on whether Russia will make a military move.
Telephone conversations are confidential. Sometimes we even talk on secret lines, so I cannot tell you what we discussed with our partners and how we discussed them. I will mention some public statements by my Western counterparts. Without mentioning their names, I would like to comment on them in general. One thing we noticed is we are often accused of being illegitimate in what we do. And when I ask them, do you think that everything you do is legitimate? They say yes. Well, I can tell you, let's remember what the U.S. did in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya. They acted there either without any sanctions of the U.N. Security Council or they distorted the meaning of U.N. Security Council resolution as they did in Libya. The resolution only spoke about a no-fly zone and eventually ended with air raids, airstrikes, and their special forces participating in ground operations there. Our partners, especially in the U.S., always make it very clear what their geopolitical and national interests are. And they pursue those interests with much determination. And then they use this phrase, whoever is not with us is against us. And they use this phrase to make all the other countries comply with their will. And if some countries don't comply, they attack them and eventually they make those countries regret.
Their own destiny. Russia has strong historic ties to the Ukraine. There are a lot of Russian nationals inside of Ukraine, as well as native Russians, as there are a lot of Ukrainians inside of Russia. There are strong commercial ties between those two countries. So all of those interests, I think, can be recognized. But what cannot be done is for Russia, with impunity, to put its soldiers on the ground and violate basic principles that are recognized around the world. And I think the strong condemnation that it's received from countries around the world indicates the degree to which Russia's on the wrong side of history on this. We are strongly supportive of the interim Ukrainian government. John Kerry is going to be traveling to Kiev to indicate our support for the Ukrainian people, to offer very specific and concrete packages of economic aid, because one of the things we're concerned about is stabilizing the economy, even in the midst of this crisis. And what we are also indicating to the Russians is that if, in fact, they continue on the current trajectory that they're on, that we are examining a whole series of steps, economic, diplomatic, that will isolate Russia and will have a negative impact on Russia's economy and its status in the world. We've already suspended preparations for the G8 summit. I think you can expect that there would be further follow-up on that. We're taking a look at a whole range of issues that John Kerry mentioned yesterday. And the question for Mr. Putin, who I spoke to directly, and the question for the Russian government generally is, if in fact their concern is that the rights of all Ukrainians are respected, if in fact their primary concern, as they've stated, is that Russian speakers and Russian nationals are not in any way harmed or abused or discriminated against, then we should be able to set up international monitors and international effort that mediates between various parties, that is able to broker a deal that is satisfactory to the Ukrainian people. Not to the United States, not to Russia, but to the Ukrainian people. And we should be able to de-escalate the situation. And so we've been very specific with the Russians about how that might be done under the auspices of either the United Nations or the OSCE or some other international organization. And John Kerry will pursue that further when he arrives. And so there are really two paths that Russia can take at this point. Obviously, the facts on the ground in Crimea are deeply troubling, and Russia has a large army that borders Ukraine. But what is also true is that over time, This will be a costly proposition for Russia. And now's the time for them to consider whether they can serve their interests in a way that resorts to diplomacy as opposed to force. One last point I would make on this. I've heard a lot of talk from Congress about what should be done, what they want to do. One thing they can do right away is to work with the administration to help provide a package of assistance to the Ukrainians, to the people and that government. When they get back in, assuming the weather clears, I would hope that that would be the first order of business. Because at this stage, there should be unanimity among Democrats and Republicans that when it comes to preserving the principle that no country has the right to send in troops to another country unprovoked.
And again?
No country has the right to send in troops to another country unprovoked.
And again?
No country has the right to send in troops to another country unprovoked.
Ukrainian-Russian tensions divide U.S. citizens along ignorant and apathetic lines. The National Endowment for the Arts provides $80 million for discouraging talentless hacks, and a dog is held against its will inside a Skype window. Presenting the only 10 news stories that occurred anywhere in the past 7 days, this is The Onion Week in Review. This Tuesday, President Obama sent Congress a $4 trillion piece of entirely meaningless rhetoric. The series of empty promises allocates $302 billion to posturing about infrastructure, $76 billion in specious language on education reform, and $12 billion in unrealistic propositions about scientific research. It has reportedly been hailed by many in Washington as a bold declaration of party lines. Acclaimed director Francis Ford Coppola revealed in an interview this week that the three Godfather films are in fact all part of the same narrative universe. The 74-year-old explained that while the films can certainly be appreciated as individual movies, he had consciously attempted to weave the three discrete films into a single cohesive whole, or trilogy of sorts. Coppola went on to note that he had even gone so far as to add subtle touches for astute viewers, such as featuring a character named Michael Corleone in each film, and titling the three stories The Godfather, The Godfather Part 2, and The Godfather Part 3.
I'd always had an inkling the Godfather films were somehow linked, but the lengths to which Mr. Coppola went to connect them is unbelievable. For example, you might notice that there's a mafia family called the Corleones in the second film. Well, that's actually the same Corleone family you saw in the first movie just years later. Knowing this really enriches the viewing experience.
Chicago area parents Rhonda and Stephen Tobin told reporters this week that they continued to emphasize to their 20-year-old son Patrick the importance of investing in an improv comedy education, stressing that there could be nothing more crucial to his future than devoting himself to studying improv. The couple urged their son to join as many indie teams as possible and maybe even take a music elective.
We keep telling Patrick again and again that if you don't buckle down and start learning basic concepts like yes and the Herald now, nobody is going to take you seriously later in life.
I mean, I cannot get it into his head that if he's not picking up skills like heightening and object work, he is never going to get on a house team.
And in local news, a report confirms that Mom's got her thing tonight. In other news, John Kerry sits in the shadows of a Kiev cafe awaiting a woman known only as Dasha. 15 years in an environment of constant fear somehow fails to rehabilitate a prisoner. And a military recruiter doesn't have to dig too far into his bag of tricks to land this one.
How many more innocent people?
How many more?
How many more?
What has been the number one cause of unnatural death in history?
Democide, or death by government, has killed 290 million people on record.
Look it up. Go look it up.
In the 20th century, government murdered 4 times as many people as were killed in all the international and domestic wars combined.
USSR, 61,911,000 people killed.
Hitler's Germany,
nearly 21 million people killed.
Japan's imperialism, nearly 6 million people killed.
Western colonization killed over 50 million people.
Pol Pot's Cambodia, funded by the U.S. government. 2 million people killed.
China's Communist Party, as many as 76 million people killed between 1949 and 1987.
And the list goes on and on. Demand to know why the Department of Homeland Security bought more than 1.6 billion hollow point bullets.
How many more people does government have to kill?
Enough.
Enough.
Demand an end to citizen disarmament.
As an American. As an American citizen.
As a patriot.
For your children.
Enough of the people laying down and letting government kill them in mass after disarming them as they've done throughout history over and over again.
Now is the time.
It's time.
It's time to realize that when the government takes your guns, people die.
It's time to realize the biggest threat to you and your family is government.
It's time to recognize government is the greatest killer of all time.
Demand they show you the word hunting in the Second Amendment.
Demand our politicians uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights as they swore to when they took office.
It's time for our leaders to read the Constitution.
It's time for our leaders to obey the Constitution.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Because a well-regulated militia with 10-round magazines wouldn't last very long.
So now you know the most dangerous thing to you and your family in the world is government.
Because mass murderers agree, gun control works.
It's the handshake that got Nathan Enting suspended from school. Making his hand look like a gun has cost him 3 days in class. His dad, Paul, says it's crazy.
Why his punishment was this excessive?
10-year-old Nathan is now learning at home until he's allowed to go back. The principal at Devonshire Alternative Elementary has warned students before about making pretend guns and told parents it would end in a punishment. But Paul says it doesn't make sense.
I've known these kids around in school nowadays, they get in fights and they're not suspended that long. But for him to make his fingers into a gun and get suspended for 3 days, I don't understand it.
A school district spokesman said Enting put his finger to the side of another student's head and pretended to shoot. He added, the kids were told, if you don't stop doing this type of stuff, there will be consequences. The strong stance looks set to continue. If Nathan does this again at school, there will be another punishment, but this one will be more severe. In a country where gun control is being widely and fiercely debated, this case is likely to feature heavily.
Put down that iPhone or BlackBerry, look up from your computer screen or video game, stop texting, emailing, chatting online. It turns out that the internet could be driving us crazy.
Here's another topic I'm addressing, so learn a quick lesson. About your Smith & Wesson, sit your ass back and comprehend as I let you know about man's best friend. Now remember, it used to be a dog like Lassie, but now in 91, it's a gun if you ask me. Just like a Jimmy hat's used for protection, I use my 9 when suckers start to flex. Cause if you run up and try to play mine, I'd rather have an AK than a K9. Cause if you shot your gun and my dog tried to fetch her, me and the dog's going out on a stretcher. And I ain't with that, so I gotta get that big black cat. Aim and I hit that. Forget about a dog, fool. He'll shit in the den nowadays. A cat is man's best friend. Man's best friend.
A homeowner shoots an intruder.
In this latest case, one of the suspects was killed. Fox 2's Taryn Asher with more from Detroit's West Side.
The area has gone down tremendously.
I'm sad that it has to be like this.
Chester Collins, who has lived in this neighborhood for 25 years, just learning about what happened. Many neighbors weren't home around noon Thursday. Maybe that's why two brazen burglars thought they had a chance to break into this Detroit house on Penrod. But they got a rude awakening when they tried to make their way inside. Police say the homeowner heard glass break. He ran to the back of the house, and that's when he saw a suspect crawling through his back window. So he went and grabbed his gun and fired multiple shots. Police say the 17-year-old suspect collapsed in the middle of the driveway, where it appears he died from gunshot wounds to his chest. Another young man, believed to be in his early 20s, got away. It's not clear if they were armed.
Here is the reason why Ice Cube packed. Just in case a little punk try to jack. I can't put a motherfucking pet bull under a coat in the small of my back. So I gotta take my Beretta. And I betcha it'll probably work 100% better. Cause it'll keep me out of danger. With 16 in the clip and one in the chamber. So this goes to all your intruders. Beware of the owner, cause the owner is a shooter. I don't just wanna give your ass rabies. I'd rather have your ass pushing up gates. And I can't do that with Benji. Ren 1010 nor Spuds McKenzie. Forget about a dog, fool. He'll shit in the den. Nowadays, a cat is man's best friend.
Just don't let me see you shoot no dogs.
And now, pug versus cops. This little pug, clearly not backing down or intimidated by police working to negotiate with an armed robbery suspect who barricaded himself in his Phoenix home. So the dog broke through the police barrier, started a fight with a police dog, and then sprinted down the street while armed cops were in the middle of the four-hour siege.
Hey, I've got shots fired here. Send me another unit.
The profile of a typical American gun owner is this. Over 30, white, male, middle class.
You're at a gun show in the US, so why not pick up an autograph from the killer of Trayvon Martin? Sitting quietly in a corner of the exhibition in Orlando, Florida, George Zimmerman signs photos and is ready for a chat, revealing a slice of life for the controversial figure who was acquitted of the murder and manslaughter of the black teenager last year. Apparently making this public appearance as a thank you to the owner of the gun show, who supported him throughout the trial. Zimmerman was accused of racially profiling, following and shooting 17-year-old Trayvon in a gated neighborhood as he was returning from a convenience store. He claimed self-defense, and the trial shone a spotlight on Florida's Stand Your Ground law, which allows someone in fear of his or her life to use lethal force, which Zimmerman did. It prompted a series of protests about a law which many view as a license to commit murder, and even led to comment from U.S. President Barack Obama. Since his acquittal, Zimmerman has had several brushes with the law. As well as being stopped twice for speeding, he was questioned by police in September after his estranged wife called authorities saying he'd threatened her with a gun.
A, you are idiot. B, the guns are loaded. And C, care to try me?
One, two, three, four.
You never had rabies, you never gained weight, you never drank poison, you watched what you ate. You never came home with a terrible scar, you never so much as put a scratch on my car. You never got measles, you never got gout, you never got dizzy and you never fell out. You never suggested we all play charades, you never picked up any live hand grenades. You twisted your ankle, I carried you. Got a divorce, so I married you. You fell off a cliff, so I buried you. I wish there were more bad times to see you through. Wish there were more bad times. 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 You never leaked oil, you never drank cleanser, and you never ate foil. You never got hurt by sticks and stones, you never choked on any big chicken bones. You never got mauled by a mad baboon, you never lost all the air in your balloon.
out sick from all that leftover pork. You twisted your ankle, I carried you. You got a divorce, so I married you. You fell off a cliff, so I buried you. I wish there were more bad times to see you through. Wish there were more bad times. So many things did go wrong, but the list is not long enough. Not enough bad things to fill up a song. Wish there were more bad times. 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 I'd rather gather your bones than mop up this mess. The scrub is all spotless to wreck our success. I was holding your hand when it fell on the floor. When you left, you broke the knob on the door.
Want to see some space rock? Over the past few months, the Hubble telescope happened to capture an asteroid breaking apart. In a sequence of snapshots, you can see asteroid P2013R3 coming apart over a time period between late October 2013 and mid-January of this year. Scientists say they have seen asteroids break apart as they near the Sun, but not in the main belt between Mars and Jupiter. Not until now, anyway. They think in this case, the fragmentation is caused by the Yorup effect. Sunlight can cause an object to rotate, and the spinning effect coupled with the weird size of the asteroid can make it break apart. In this case, R3 broke apart into 10 pieces, the biggest of which are about 600 feet across. The observations occur over a longer period of time because the parts are apparently moving apart at just 0.9 miles per hour. Ah, space. How you boggle the mind. About the same time last year, Hubble also spotted asteroid P2013P5, another never-seen-before space rock with six tails. Scientists say its behavior is crazy and it looks more like a comet. It's like if Liberace was a 1,600-foot-wide asteroid. Anyone thinking what I'm thinking?
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom!
This incredible image taken from a space telescope shows a galaxy being ripped apart. The Hubble Space Telescope took the picture of this galaxy trailing stars and dust as it moved through a cluster of galaxies known as the Norma Cluster, a process called Ram Pressure Stripping. The picture was taken in 2009 of the Great Attractor, a region in space around 200 million light years away from Earth. It takes scientists years to study the complex images taken by the Hubble Space Telescope, which has been snapping pictures of space since it launched in 1990.
A new medical study on the effects of marijuana use confirms that everyone knows you're high and that you'll most likely never stop feeling like this. According to the American Journal of Medicine, you're not making any sense and everyone thinks you're weird.
Everyone can smell the marijuana on your breath and on your clothes. Everyone is laughing at you.
Dr. Philip Blanton of Harvard studied the effects of THC on the brain, concluding that the smell of marijuana smoke will likely stay on your clothes for months, and also that you've been telling the same story for 5 minutes. Additionally, the in-depth report reveals that despite trying to act cool, you're definitely laughing too much and everyone is messing with you.
Your parents know you're high, your friends know you're high. Strangers on the street know you're high. If you're young and you smoke marijuana, you will probably never be able to find a job. And if you're an adult, you will most likely be fired. If you hear a noise, that's probably the police, and you're probably going to jail.
Well, previous studies suggested that it's all good and that we're all made of the same stuff that makes stars. New research indicates that your brain got broken and you shouldn't have done this. Doctors say the study raises important questions such as, what if that wasn't just marijuana and how are you going to get home?
This is forever. This is the new reality.
Next up, a new poll shows that kinky Americans feel the country is on the wrong track and they like it.
It's the marijuana, I think I need it. Take a trip and sip a bomb, I'm alone. It's just a herb, mind's eye, open wide, come inside, no need to hide. It's just the chronic, the marijuana, I think I need a hit.
Take a trip and sip a bomb, come along. It's just the herb. Mind's eye open wide, confide, no need to hide. It's just a chronic, chronic moment. It's like the omen, giving birth inside your chest. Invest some time in knowing what the herb can do to a man's soul. When inhaled, it takes the rest, he's impaled. I'm holding grand. First on top of the telephone pole with Heckle and Jekyll. I know many men who indulge in a secret ingredient come my way. I like that bowl and lose control over tracks. Constructed by the conductor, never stuck in a permanent high. I float around my way. Wings and fins and parts that propel me to the next plateau. I go way overhead to tents with dense ideas that never change. I blow rivers of ancient teleportation sent to the nation. Via me, via satellite, ear to ear, from here to there. They feel the beat. Don't be shy, I'm really a quiet guy. Just try. Liquid of dust for an introvert. I flirt with Mary Jane and burn her body for the feeling in a pipe. I won't complain. Marijuana, I think I need it. Take a trip and sip a bomb. Come along, it's just a herb. Mind's eye open wide, comes high. No need to hide, it's just a chronic. The marijuana, I think I need it. Take a trip and sip a bomb. Crowded room full of people having tripped out conversation. No one's up to getting over the edge. That last hit dropped the eggs from my basket. Now I'm asking.
Dude, listen, let's go outside real quick, man. What's wrong with you, man? Dude, I just don't have this high.
Paranoid, quested outside, waiting for a cigarette to bring down my high. Beware of boy, the one drunk buck, spitting in your face when he talks, he doesn't give a fuck. Swing low, I crouch down below. Should've left the last hit to the homie with the tolerance. Mary Jane's the bitch they pitch when slanging sacks for back support. Barely saying I hand them 20, that'll be plenty. Relax and sport that sack in the back. When a show's in progress, my heart presses against my chest. And the mic's in hand, I bite my bottom lip and watch them trip.
What are they singing? Pass the blunt to the left hand side. Pass the blunt to the left hand side.
Open lungs, open eyes, open hands to hold the ball, hope for the urn, turn to ashes and earn. Earn your keep, and Mary won't have nowhere to sleep. There's something about Mary I can't seem to peep. Stick to the beach in the midnight hour, smoking a bowl before I go in slow-mo, creeping around the bend, not a stake in the grass or a fiend for green. Call me a fan with a hand on a pipe who likes the smell. What the hell? Likes the feeling. What you dealing?
It's the chronic. I think I need it. Take a sip of fun. Come along. What is it? What you got?
Is this the chronic marijuana? I think I need a hit. Take a trip and sip up. Come along. It's just a herb. Mind's eye open wide. Come inside. No need to hide. It's just a chronic marijuana. I think I need a hit. Take a trip and sip up. Come along. It's just a herb. Mind's eye open wide. Come inside. No need to hide. It's just a chronic.
Years ago, we weren't talking about legalizing marijuana in states either. Is that a good idea or a bad idea for California?
Well, we have medical marijuana, which gets very close to what they have in Colorado and Washington. I really like those two states to show us how it's going to work. The problem with anything, a certain amount is okay, but there is a tendency to go to extremes. And all of a sudden, if there's advertising and legitimacy, how many people can get stoned and still have a great state or a great nation? World's pretty dangerous, very competitive. I think we need to stay alert. If not 24 hours a day, more than some of the potheads might be able to put together.
As a TV guy, I know a good soundbite when I've heard one, and I think I've just heard one.
Let's begin now.
You know, today, I just woke up, and I said,
this.
You know, instead of waiting on a good day, waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen. I just said, that's right.
And all these mommies look fly today. And all we wanna do is get by today. Hey, we're gonna have a good day. And ain't nobody gotta cry today. Cause ain't nobody gonna die today. Save that drama for another day. Hey, we're gonna have a good
Brand
day.
Brand life fresh, new cologne on. Feeling so good, change the colors to my phone. Orange Kool-Aid, go good with Patron. Oh, no, hell no. We still my ringtone, free car wash. Had to clean up the Dodge. Get back when I can, just playing my part. Church folks had a fish fry, mustard, hot sauce, light bread, french fries. Love for the big guy, hit the park. Boys showing off the hot nappy roots on the radio. And you know what about last night, hit the pick three. Bought some Air Force Ones, four tall tees. Man, I'm loving BG.
It's election time, North Korean style. A nationwide poll to pick deputies for a new five-year term serving on the 13th Supreme People's Assembly. Don't expect any shock results. Do expect scenes of carefully orchestrated celebration rarely seen in votes in other countries, all backed by a voiceover that makes Brazilian football commentators seem rather restrained. Everybody in the country seemingly taking part, including the world's most over-decorated army with the world's tallest peaked caps. All under the watchful eyes of the eternal president and the supreme leader. Before the normal people get their turn, their faces glowing with excitement for an event of little real significance. And topped off with hundreds of civilians spontaneously dancing in the street. And then the main man turns up to cast his vote. Kim Jong-un pops into his local polling station at the university named after his grandpa in the capital Pyongyang. Nominated as a candidate in an election that will change nothing.
And I ain't fit to worry about what nobody say. I'm still above ground, that's the reason I pray. Got my car cleaned up, now I'm ready to play. Make a call to the stick, say I'm headed that way. Heard my cousin cooking out, I gotta give me a play. Got this new outfit, ain't even out in the state. So if I ain't speaking too soon, but this a hell of a day. And the sticky got me sitting in a hell of a place. Got my stunner shades on and the grin on my face. My new grill looks mean, but I swear I'm straight. And the hood showing love, so I'm A-OK. Hey.
Children have been rescued from a car after their mother allegedly drove into the sea in Florida. This footage, captured by a tourist, shows lifeguards and passers-by rushing to help. With the waves crashing against the car, they struggle to open its doors and reach the children. But they eventually got in the boat and frantically pulled the children, who were 3, 9 and 10, through the back of the car. No one was seriously injured.
We might as well do exactly what the children saying. Take the day off, hit the park and just hang. Barbecue, roll a few and put up the deuce. And if it's beef, put the piece down, throw up the dukes. It's time to change our ways so we can save the day. For the children's sake, and make a better place to play. And if it's all good, break out your coupe and grip your wood. And if you're riding dirty, light your spliff and blow your... But do it real big, exactly like a player should. Enjoy your 24, do your thing and rep your hood. The world is all yours, but still we all grind. Forever in a day, the choice you make is really all fine.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Gather round ye lads and lasses, set ye for a while, and hearken to me mournful tale about the Emerald Isle. Let's all raise our glasses high to friends and family gone, and lift our voices in another Irish drinking song. Consumption took me mother and me father got the pox. Me brother drank the whiskey till he wound up in a box. Me other brother in the troubles met with his demise. Me sister has forever closed her smiling Irish eyes.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Kenny was killed in Kilkenny, and Clare, she died in Clare. Tip from Tipperary died out in the Derriere. Shannon jumped into the river, Shannon back in June. Ernie fell into the urn, and Tom is in the tomb. Cleanliness is godliness, me uncle Pat would sing. He broke his neck a slipping on a bar of Irish Bing. O'Grady, he was 80, though his bride was just a pup. He died upon the honeymoon when she got his Irish up.
Hey! Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again. Ba-dup, ba-dup, ba-dup.
Joe Murphy fought with Riley near the cliffs of Old Dunee. He took out his shillelagh and he stabbed him in the spleen. Where crazy Uncle Mike thought he was a leprechaun, but in fact he's just a leopard and his arms and legs are gone. When Timmy Johnson broke his neck, it was a crying shame. He wasn't really Irish, but he went to Notre Dame. McNamara crossed the street and by a bus was hit, but he was just a Scotsman, so nobody gave a shit.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Drunken Uncle Brendan tried to drive home from the bar. The road rose up to meet him when he fell out of his car. Irony was what befell me great-granduncle Sam. He choked upon the very last potato in the land. Connor lived in Ulster town, he used to smuggle arms, until the British killed him and cut off his lucky charms. And dear old Father Flanagan, who left the Lord's employ, drunk on sacramental wine beneath the altar boy.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Someday soon I'll leave this world of pain and toil and sin. The Lord will take me by the hand to join all of me kin. Me only wish is when the Savior comes for me and you.
He kills the cast of Riverdance and Michael Flatley too.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Now, go find the others.com.
Wait, I... Ding, ding, ding. Uh-oh, looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.